Hey everybody, this is Eric Mann, your host of Voices from the Frontlines, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Today we're going to devote the hour to discussing mass transit, civil rights, environmental justice, organizing in LA, through the lens of the Bus Riders Union. For the past 3 weeks, I've been talking to KPFK listeners about the upcoming Bus Riders Union Mass Rally at Los Angeles City Hall that's taking place tomorrow, Wednesday 25th at 11 a.m. As I told you, the slogan for the rally is President Obama, enforce, restore, and expand our civil rights, and give the Bus Riders Union 1 million hours of service that the MTA has cut. We need that service back, plus another million hours on top of it. So joining me today to discuss the rally and the broader work of the BRU and training young organizers is a youth organizer of the Community Rights Campaign, organizer Cynthia Gonzalez. Cynthia graduated from the Strategy Center Summer Youth Organizing Academy 2 years ago, has been very active in the youth organizer on several LA high schools, especially Roosevelt High School. This summer, she returns to the SYOA to help train a new group of young organizers. Next year, you're going to San Francisco State, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
I'll be heading up.
All right, so to set up probably a Strategy Center up there.
Hopefully. We'll see.
So, see what we're going to talk about. Cynthia, I'm going to just tell the folks a little bit about the rally, and then maybe you could tell them about, from your point of view and from the point of view your people are organizing, why you think the rally is important. So I'll kick it off for a minute, and then I'll throw the ball to you. Now, folks, let me tell you what this rally is about. This rally is really about the future of the city. There's a war going on in Los Angeles between the rich and the poor. There's a war going on in the country between the rich and the poor. That is a class war heavily overlaid and defined by a race war, a war of national oppression between the wealthy, the corporate, the capitalist on the one side, and the working class of all races, and the oppressed nationality communities on the other. In the middle of this strategic alliance, the most important group for us from a strategic point of view is the black and Latino working class. And that black and Latino working class is under phenomenal attack right now, driven into poverty, super exploited, and then attacked by the police, attacked by the immigration, not even left to be poor. Not even left to simply have bad housing and bad health, but arrested by the Immigration and Naturalization Service, now called ICE, or arrested by the LAPD and the LASPD from anything from being late to school or having a little marijuana or minor crime. Now, the issue of the civil rights fight tomorrow is about rail versus bus. You've heard, perhaps, that Mayor Villaraigosa is a big champion of rail project. He's a project of something called 3010, which is he wants to get 30 years of money into L.A. in 10 years so he can build all the rail he can, and then he can leave L.A. totally stuck with debt. So we have 30 years to pay off the mortgage on 10 years of crazy projects, which is going to even destroy the bus system more. And in the middle of that, they've already cut 1 million hours. So those of you who voted for Prop R last time, and you saw those wonderful, wonderful ads about the smog lifting and the trains rolling and the choo-choo trains, and it's just going to be so beautiful. They didn't tell you that we're going to cut the bus service, we're going to drive the working class out of the bus, standing on the corner, late for work, late for school, while we're going to have developers, corporate developers, gentrifiers, to build a corporate image of Los Angeles. So you have to take a stand, and the President of the United States has to take a stand, and President Obama has the ability, because LA gets federal funds, to tell Los Angeles, you're violating the civil rights of 500,000 bus riders. I want those million hours of service restored immediately. And guess what? They'll do it. They'll do it in a hot minute. Now, you'd think Mayor Villaraigosa, who was once a labor union organizer, who was once a real progressive, Mayor Villaraigosa, who is the chair of the Democratic National Convention happening in North Carolina in September, you'd think he would be fighting to get that million hours back. Sadly, first, he allowed the first set of cuts to take place. He voted for them. The next time, he opposed the cuts, which is a good thing. He got 6 votes to oppose the last round of about 350,000 hours of cuts. But then he did nothing more. He was silent. Well, he hasn't been silent about getting billions and billions and billions of dollars to build rail projects in LA. So trust me, if the mayor wanted those million hours of bus service back, we would have that bus service back. So while we appreciate the mayor voting no, he didn't take the action to make it into a yes. So we need you on the steps of City Hall tomorrow at 11 o'clock to tell President Obama, we need our civil rights enforced. We need our bus service back. Mayor Villaraigosa, Tulsa. We need our bus service back. We need our civil rights enforced. And if we can fill the halls of City Hall steps, which we will, we have terrific commitments already from many community groups. Well over 100 Bus Riders Union members are going to come. Well over 100 members of the Community Rights Campaign are coming. The people coming from the Summer Youth Organizing Academy. People coming from LA Can. People coming from different unions. So it's going to be a big, big thing. And for $2 or $3, you're going to get this great t-shirt, yellow t-shirt, that's going to say, President Obama, enforce our civil rights, Bus Riders Union. So folks, you get it. It's civil rights in your lifetime. Before I get to Cynthia, 213-387-2800. And then 818-985-5735. So you need to learn to listen and dial a telephone at the same time. Okay, Cynthia, thanks for listening to this. You're the first one up. Why should the folks out there come to this rally tomorrow? What out of your experience makes you think you could make the argument?
I definitely do encourage folks to come out tomorrow because not only are you supporting yourselves as bus riders, but you're supporting the whole community that depends on these buses. Personally, I've been the victim of getting left behind by buses, and I never quite actually figured out why this was happening. You know, why was 251 and 250 lines taking forever just to get to another stop? And you know, I realized that this is true, that the buses are getting cut, and it's not only affecting me as a student, but it's affecting my whole community because my community of Boyle Heights depends on these buses. A lot of people do take Gold Line, but the real workers and my parents and my neighbors are the ones actually taking the buses to get to work, to get to wherever they have to get on time. And I see that throughout the years, and now with the proposition R, it feels like the city is not taking its responsibility on its people, that it's not actually, they have no concern about where we have to be and how we depend on these jobs and how we depend to be on time because we need to feed our families. And it's very hard to see this. It's very hard to see the reality of a train system and the bus system because it really is the train versus the bus. The working class versus, you know, it is really versus a higher class. It really is a class war because you see it. Because who are the people taking these? Who are the people that are going to be taking these trains? Who are going to be on the train stations? It's not really working class that have to get to Vernon or have to get to downtown or have to get to the Crenshaw or other parts of the city. It's not really those people that are really riding these trains. And earlier I was having a conversation with my sister about it, and I was really upset at the fact that bus hours are getting cut. And I started connecting these things to our civil rights and our civil rights as people, and how I feel that it's so sad that this state would rather support corporations that are really tearing apart our communities, that are tearing apart and are gentrifying our communities, especially with the bus rails. And for me, it's just a really sad experience to see that buses are being cut because people take the bus everywhere. They take the bus to go to the beach. They take the bus for everything. And I feel that really people really depend on these buses, especially working people of color. And for me, it's just saddening to see that these buses are getting cut and that we're not supporting our communities. We're not supporting our communities. But now I feel that if we actually want to take action against the injustices that we see in the bus system, that we're ready to jump in for tomorrow and decide to take action and demand our rights.
Well, a couple of questions, Cynthia. Folks, by now, I hope you're calling 213-387-2800, telling the organizers of the Bus Riders Union that you're coming. And then I want you to call 818-985-5735 only if you're coming to the rally tomorrow at 11. And what I listen to the fundraising marathons, so that the fund drives, I listen sometimes to some of the hosts saying, please call, I got 20, you know, I need 20 callers, 818-985-5735. And I'm thinking, God, you know, why is it taking so long? Folks, just get on the phone and call in and make your contributions so they don't have to yell. Now, we say it every week, but this is important now. I'm asking myself, how valuable is Voices from the Frontlines? I want to know how many of you out there, I know you like my film reviews, I get a lot of comments that you like this and you like that. I'm asking you, do you have any commitment to do anything about what's wrong in the society? So 213-387-2800, what else are you going to do at 11 o'clock tomorrow? You know, and for a lot of the Occupy people who stood on the steps of City Hall, who occupied City Hall for 2 months, this is your chance. This is a fight between the 99% and the 1%, more than you see. And a sad thing, I have to say this as Mayor Villaraigosa, I've known you through thick and thin. I've known you in your better incarnations. But right now, you represent the 1%. And I'd like you to take a stand and fight for the 99%. We're going to be coming there tomorrow asking you, Mayor Villaraigosa, and you, President Barack Obama, to please take a stand on behalf of the working class people and order 1 million hours of bus service so Cynthia and her family and her friends don't have to walk so long. So 818-985-5735. We'll start taking calls. But remember, I don't want your opinion. I want your plan to come to the rally. Jeff Ramsey Ray, our producer, is going to screen you. And if you don't have anything good to say, as your mama told you, then don't say anything at all. So, Cynthia, racism, racism, racism. You people at the Strategy Center Bus Rides Union, when you wake up in the morning, you talk about racism, and you go to bed at night. Don't you get tired of talking about racism? Why is everything racist? Why do you think this is racist?
We never get tired of talking and having conversations about racism, because if it still, you know, exists, we still have to have conversations in our communities and understand what's going on. And for me, for a long while, it took me, you know, conversations to learn about why I see this is racist. And it finally clicked, you know, when I was having a conversation with my sister. I was just furious at the fact that I was actually in a meeting with the bus riders, and they were out there to speak against Prop R. And I saw that, sadly, everyone in that room was in favor of Proposition R. And the ones that are actually getting affected by these cuts were the bus riders. And we were representing our communities. We were representing the people against the struggle. And so for me, I feel that when I take the bus, when I take the 251 or 252, I get to have interactions with people. I get to talk to them about their lives or just how they are. And, you know, most of the time they're like, they usually tell me, oh, I'm on my way to work, I'm gonna go babysit, I'm gonna go do this. And it's working class people that I see every day on the bus. And so once I start heading my way down to the Gold Line and actually riding the train to get to Union Station, a lot of the people that I see there are actually, some can be students, others are tourists, and there's no interaction in the train system with them. And then that's when I really started to see the bus system versus the train system. And how is that working? You know, how is that? Who is really depending on these services? And I start to weigh in on the facts that the bus are getting more cuts, the bus are getting less services, that people that are depending to get on these buses, like students that are avoiding truancy tickets, are actually taking the bus, but the bus is not there to serve them. And versus the expansion of the train system, where all it's leading is for people to see LA as, you know, this beautiful tourist type of LA, where you get to one city to the next, but it's not really going to where people actually need to be, which is work, which is, you know, where they have to be. So that's when I started weighing where racism exists, because you see it. I clearly see it, how the city and Mayor Villaraigosa are pounding on the people and saying, we're taking down your services, but yet we're not giving you back anything. You have these train systems, but they're not leading you to your work. So I start to see the racism and start to have conversations around this. And it connects, you know, it connects to everything in our lives. And people depend on these buses. People depend on getting to school on time. People depend on getting to work on time. If not, that's a paycheck that's not going to your household. It's really tough, and it's hard to make these connections, but you see it there.
Well, it's 818-985-5735. Call if you're coming to the rally tomorrow at 11 o'clock on City Hall steps. Call if you've been in Occupy and you're coming to the rally on City Hall steps. Call if you want to fight against racism and you're coming to the rally on City Hall steps. Call if you want to stand up to Mayor Villaraigosa and ask him to do the right thing. Ask him to go back to his roots and be a civil rights and a labor organizer, not a corporate organizer. So 818-985-5735. A Kim called, but we lost him. Tell him to call back. And call 213-387-2800 if you're going to come to rally. But focus on calling us at the station, 818-985-5735. Remember, one of the criticisms of KPFK listeners, if I can say, is they talk and they listen, but they don't act. And Voices from the Front Lines is trying to get people to take action. And we don't have any calls at 818-985-5735. So basically, let me tell you a couple of things about tomorrow again. That Barbara Lott Holland is going to speak about why we oppose the extension of Prop R. And why Prop R, if you can imagine that, is going to try to lead to further debt. So 60 years from now, you'll still be paying a half-cent sales tax, and the MTA is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. Betsy Estudillo from the DREAM Act is going to talk about how the DREAM Act students fought and why they were told not to fight until after the election and why they're fighting now and why they've won some victories. Is there somebody on the line, Jeff? Okay, well, we'll take the caller, but I can't read it. So who's on?
Jeff, hello.
Who's calling?
Yes, my name is Eric, and I'm calling from Montebello.
Okay, are you going to come to the rally tomorrow?
Yes, I am. I'm a big supporter of the transit system. I remember when the economy went down, I didn't have a car. I was struggling. My only means of transportation was the bus system. I was in the real estate field. And that was my way of getting around. My goal was to get my licensing, my real estate broker license, and open up offices. And now I'm actually in that position. So I really did have to rely on the bus system. So I'm going to be there in support. I think L.A. and Villaraigosa should be asking for those federal funds to implement this for our city.
Hey, that's great, and thanks for understanding the issue real well. Come up to me. I'll be speaking at the rally, too. Cynthia, you're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yep. All right, so come up and say hello to me and Cynthia and tell us that you heard us on the radio and give us a handshake, and we'll be glad to see you tomorrow, okay?
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Good luck. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Now, let's see. I think we have a Kim in South Pasadena. Is that right? How you doing, Kim? Kim, is that you? Okay. We have an Ernest on line two. Can we get you?
Hello?
Is this Ernest?
This is Ernest.
Hey, Ernest, are you coming to the rally tomorrow?
No, I'm not.
You're not coming to the rally? Well, this is going to be a heck of a rally, folks. We got a lot of people coming, but we're having trouble getting people into our phone lines. 818-985-5735. Okay, on line four, let's do it.
Hello, Eric. This is Kim from South Pasadena.
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You don't know me, but I'm a longtime KPFK supporter and listener and a longtime fan of you and your work. I just had a couple questions regarding today's show, which is absolutely great. I'm just fearful that you're relying a bit too much on Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who I think relying on him is basically like beating a dead horse. He's not the advocate or the organizer that we once thought he was. And secondly, this is a thought that really...
Kim, can I ask, honestly, are you coming to the rally tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Okay, wonderful. Keep going.
And I just had a question. Is there any, do we have any hard data that tells us that riders of the metro or the train are a different class of people than those who rely on bus service? How would you respond to that question?
Well, it's complicated, but we can. The first thing to say is that some bus riders are also, of course, riding the train. I mean, when they build a train, if it goes towards your neighborhood, you ride it. We're not telling people to boycott the rail system.
Right.
We were saying, though, that the rail system is phenomenally expensive, and as a result, it's driving down bus service, and it's never going to complete itself. Now, we know, for instance, that there's a higher economic demographic on the rail because the rail attracts more middle class as well as working class riders. We know that there is that Latinos are significantly overrepresented on bus. But that doesn't mean that they're not also Latinos on the train. It doesn't also mean that they're not Latino working class people on the train. Like, Cynthia, you do bus, train, bus. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah. So I would write out, like, let's say, take the 251 or 252 to the Gold Line and the Gold Line to Union Station. And, I mean, yeah, it's true. You do see some working class in the train system, but my observations is that I see a lot more, you know, a lot more representations coming from Latino working class on the bus system rather than the train system. So, I mean, it's not something that you just like, I mean, it's something that you actually do see, and it's there, and you can actually see it, and it's visible.
And we'll get the numbers more. I mean, you're absolutely right, Kim. So let me just tell you one more thing, and I'm going to take another caller. There's another factor, which is 75% of the riders today or more are still bus riders. So it's not just like, is the demographic different on the rail? But it's also that the overwhelming majority of the people are on the system that's being cut. So, for instance, rail keeps expanding its service. Rail keeps cutting making better the service, cutting the headways between times to try to drive up ridership. And it cuts the ridership on the bus system, which drives down ridership. So your question, and the last thing I will say is this. Mayor Villaraigosa, we have let me be careful because I'm speaking into the mic. We have very little hope in Mayor Villaraigosa as just Mayor Villaraigosa. Mm-hmm. But this is an election year, and this is the first time a lot of people, Kim, in Los Angeles will not demonstrate against a Democratic mayor. They will demonstrate against George Bush, but they won't come out and take on a Democratic mayor. Now, tomorrow, if we have the 400 people on City Hall steps that we think we have, the question is going to be asked, where is the mayor? And the mayor is on the wrong side of history right now. Where is the president? And this is our attack. If, in fact, in the middle of a presidential election, we can get some pressure primarily on President Obama, we hope President Obama will tell Mr. Villaraigosa, you are also on the wrong side of history. Let's work together to get the million hours back. So it has a tactical plan. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but it's not just counting on the mayor and the abstracts. Thank you, Kim. Very good questions. We have three more. 818-985-5735. Now we're getting a lot of callers. All of you remember, you're coming to the rally tomorrow at 11 o'clock on City Hall steps. 818-985-5735. My friend Eddie from Cyprus.
Yeah, I'll be at the demonstration. But I wanted to call because we started the conversation with theories of race, racism, and that sort of thing. Do we talk about race too much? We do and we don't. Problem is, especially on KPFK, where we need to have our facts straight, we need to know what we're talking about when we're talking about racism and race. We don't want to confuse this economics with racism itself, although the two overlap. On KPFK, I recently heard a discussion with an author that wrote the book, Race, Monogamy, and Other Lies They Told You.
Doug, listen, because you have a minute, can you turn it into a question? Because we're trying to get 20 more people on the call who are coming to the round.
I don't have a question other than we need to get smart about talking about race when we do talk about it.
All right. Well, that's a good point. I hope that I become convincing to you in talking about race. You're right that we got to back our facts up. Mm-hmm. And with that, Doug, I'm really looking forward to seeing you at the rally tomorrow. Who else do we got now?
Bye-bye.
Take good care and thank you. All right, is it Dr. Holly? Doug? All right, Doug, South Central, line 3.
I'll be there tomorrow.
All right, Doug.
Now, I was going to the meetings on the Red Line extension, the exposition line in 1999-2000.
Right.
They were trying to eliminate stop in South Central because these people where I live will go to the beach dockers and steal our TVs and bring them back on a train, and that was the arguments they were using in the meetings with MTA at the time. It balances up all the north-south arteries. Rail deaths in America doubled the year they opened the blue line because they didn't do grade separation.
No kidding.
It's all about race. That's what those lines are for, to get the bureaucrats to their distant home. It's not about us.
Well, I think that's an absolute right, that rail is a lot, they call it commuter rail. And they've even said something about they want to get people with cars out of their car onto the trains by making them so fancy, by spending so much money on them. But here's the problem. The people who already have the cars are not going to get out of their cars until we have buses running 24/7 all over the country, all over the city, and unless we stop some of the cars on the road. So you're absolutely right that they've built up the rail in order to cut the bus system. I'll see you at the rally tomorrow. Is it Ernest? Hey, Ernest, are you coming tomorrow?
No, I have to work tomorrow, but I grew up in L.A., and there used to be a time when you could take the bus at any time of night, any time of day. If you had to get to work, you could rely on the bus. But the buses have been taken away. The lines have been taken away. And they're trying to make it so you have to take the train. But the train's destinations are limited. Mm-hmm. Where the buses will put you almost within a block or a few steps of your workplace or wherever your destination was. Mm-hmm. The train is good,
but it's not the answer.
That's really good, and I'm gonna leave, brother. You scored a good point. I'm gonna leave you there. Please come to the next rally. We have a Dr. Hall on the phone, and Cynthia's gonna take his question.
Dr. Hall, downtown.
Hello. Yes.
How are you?
Oh, hi. Not too bad. Listen, I'll be at the demonstration tomorrow for sure.
Great.
I'm downtown, and this is an important issue. If I could make a point. I think it's really important to remember that a lot of our problem is that a federal court, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit not as articulate as I sometimes am. In a nutshell, we lost this 1996 consent decree, which demanded substantial compliance with certain standards. And so we're kind of been left out in the cold.
You want me to answer?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for knowing about that. I was one of the initiators of the court case in the case of the Strategy Center and Bus Riders Union versus the MTA. And as you said, from 1996 to 2006, we had a federal consent decree. And that consent decree, by putting some pressure on the MTA, got 2,500 compressed natural gas buses that we won. We kept the fare load of $42. And then the MTA went to the federal courts. We try to extend the consent decree and say, you know what? They still haven't complied with all these things. They said to the federal courts, Your Honor, we don't need to extend the consent decree. We love the bus system. We have no intention of hurting this bus system. We're so proud of it, Your Honor. And Judge Hatter said, well, you've made some progress. You seem to be indicating that you're really going to keep up the service, so I hereby take away federal authority over you. The minute he said that, they began to cut bus service, raise fares. The fare is now $75 a month instead of $42 when we began, and they've cut 1 million hours. So thank you for knowing about that. I'll see you at the rally tomorrow. Come up and see Cynthia, and come up and we'll be with the people with the yellow t-shirt, except there'll hopefully be 500 more of us, and you'll be wearing a yellow t-shirt for two.
Be there for sure.
Thanks, doctor. We'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, man. We'll see you then.
This is great. Hey, Hector, are you coming to join us tomorrow? Hector from East L.A., you coming to join us?
Yeah, I just wanted to... Can you hear me?
Yeah, are you going to be at the rally tomorrow?
Yeah, I will be there tomorrow.
City Hall steps, 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, yeah, 11 o'clock.
Okay, what would you like to tell us?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. Yeah, I'm a teacher with the LAUSD, and I have chosen to use public transportation. I've been using public transportation for the past 3 years, starting my commute on the metro system and then jumping on city buses. And let me tell you, there is a difference in the people that ride the train and the people that ride the buses. And I don't think it's really about race. It tends to be more about social economic status, because you have your folks that ride the red line. You have people in your business suits, all your professionals going to downtown. Like in my case, I jump up in Gold Line and then eventually end up in South Central, jumping on the Jefferson bus or the Figueroa bus. And you could see a contrast in social economic status. You have disabled people. You have people that are unemployed. So there is a difference in who rides the metro trains and who is riding the buses. But I think from my perspective, since I make the choice to ride public transportation and I really enjoy it, to me, it's more of a socioeconomic status more than a race. That's my comment.
Well, thank you for also making the point so clearly. I would argue back to you that there's a direct correlation in our country between social status and race. Mm-hmm. Not every white person is poor. Not every Latino person is poor. There are wealthy white people, and there are wealthy Latinos, and there are wealthy blacks. But wait. Let me finish, because we got to get to the next caller. I'm trying to answer you. But the overwhelming class dynamics in the Latino community are working class and low income. The overwhelming dynamics in the black community are working class and low income. And we also care about low income whites, but there's a relationship between class and race and gender that we'll discuss on the next show. So Jamal,
right.
Brother, you made your point, and I'll see you tomorrow at the rally. Hello, Jamal, are you there? And Karen, we're going to get to you next. Karen.
Just a quick comment. If you get to ride some of the West Side buses...
Wait, are you still on? Wait, we're trying to get Jamal. I'm asking you to thank you very much, okay? Jamal, did we get you?
What's up, man? It's Jamal from the Apocalypse Army. I just moved here from Chicago not too long ago, where the transit system is pretty good. But I have to say, L.A.'s transit system isn't all that great. And the thing is like the lady was saying, the trains don't really go anywhere, and I live by the Gold Line, and it's convenient to get to Union Station, but other than that, not really. Mm-hmm. But the thing is I heard that the government in California are spending $68 billion on some train that's going to go from North California to Southern California, and yet cities in L.A. are claiming bankruptcy, and it's just ridiculous that no effort is put in to help the people who don't have cars, who are handicapped and are on crutches or something, to get around in the city. It's ridiculous.
Jamal, are you coming to a rally tomorrow? You know where City Hall steps are?
Excuse me?
Do you know where the City Hall is in L.A.? Are you coming to the rally tomorrow to fight for civil rights and to fight for that million hours of bus service?
Okay. I'll definitely check that out for sure.
Okay, thank you for calling. Now,
right.
Karen of Welfare Action will be at the rally. Is that a message, Jeff? Okay, so she says hi to Eric and to Cynthia. So Karen of Welfare Action will be at the rally. 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. One caller said, hey, this is great. If we did more call-ins, we'd get more calls. So we'll do more call-ins. Now, but remember, you're only calling if you come into the rally tomorrow at 11 o'clock on the hall, City Hall steps. You're going to ask President Obama to enforce, restore, and expand our civil rights. You're going to ask for a million hours of bus service. You're going to ask to slow down or, if not, stop the rail projects until we get a first-class bus system. You're going to fight for environmental justice. And you're going to join at least 400 other people with yellow T-shirts saying, President Obama, enforce our civil rights. 818-985-5735. Luis on the line. Hello, Luis.
I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Wonderful.
I've been riding the buses for 3 years. I retired, and I firsthand know how badly the bus service has been cut back. But on the question of the correlation between socioeconomic status and racism, because there is no such thing as race, there's another correlation that's very important. When you call Mexican-American Latinos, and you yourself, Eric, told me that you would always do this whenever you mention the term Latinos, because that's a form of cultural genocide to include Mexican-Americans. We are a national minority status under international law, along with African-Americans, and we are being discriminated in the form of national origin discrimination when the buses are cut back and when we're called Latinos. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. And thank you for making your point clearly and well. And voices from the front lines, we like a little heat and we like a little debate. So the brother made his point well, clearly, and he's still coming to the rally. You can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
818-985-5735. Is that the name Kane from Santa Monica?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, are you coming to the rally tomorrow?
I'm going to try, man. I'm going to try.
Wait.
I'm going to try, but...
What do you mean you're going to try?
I'm going to try.
Listen, if I had $50 on City Hall step and told you I'd meet you there at 11 o'clock, would you say you would try? Or would you say what part of the steps are you going
to
be on?
Sorry, man. It's hard to hear you, actually. You're staticky. You're staticky. I'm sorry, but I do want to make a comment with regards to one of the last callers talking about a socioeconomic issue, the difference between those who ride the trains and those who ride the buses. And I believe him that what he's saying is correct, but I think the reason for that is because the trains are still new to L.A., and they don't go all over the place yet. So, of course, you're going to have more people still riding on the buses until they get word and get wind of where the local train station is so they can go pick up the train. So we.
Thank you very much. You made the point, but you're not sure if you're going to come to the rally. I would say this, that they're going to run out of money, and they're never going to build all the trains that you think are coming. All these trains cost so much money, which is why they steal the money from the bus system. So don't think someday you're just going to have trains all over the place. They're going to make a train down Wilshire that's going to run into the Pacific Ocean, and we don't need that train because we already have a really good bus system we could have on Wilshire. So don't think that they're going to build as much rail as you think they are. 818-985-5735. 818-985. Remember, you're coming to the rally tomorrow at 11 o'clock on City Hall steps, which is between Spring and... It's on the corner of Spring and Temple. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
We have one more caller.
We have one more caller. Do you got a caller, Jeff?
Eric from downtown.
Yes, at the risk of sounding... I guess I'm going to be at the rally tomorrow.
Great.
For sure. But realizing that a lot of the bus drivers, like you said, and I agree with you, I live down here, so I see all the bus activity, and I take the bus sometimes myself. Those people are just going to work and back from work, and I think some of the benefit of that train system that they're building, I don't know if you've traveled in some of those bus, the bus driver people are traveling in their cars, but I've taken the... like the 91 freeway east and some of these other freeways, and at certain times they are just so congested, the traffic is so bumper to bumper that I was even thinking, man, they have to do something about some of this traffic. I mean, is that, I do want the hours to come back for the local transit system and everything, but that's another problem that's delicate, you know, is the congested freeways and all the bumper-to-bumper traffic on the freeways going east.
Well, we have a solution for that, a serious one, which is first-class 24/7 buses on the freeways and blocking a lot of the cars. Eventually, the cars cannot run on the freeways because no matter how many freeways they build, there's more cars. So really imagine a bus rapid transit system. Imagine freeway bus service. It's possible. It's historically possible. So I'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock on City Hall steps. And thank you so much for calling in, and we'll keep the conversation going. Howard from Santa Monica, can I get a witness? Howard, you around?
Yes, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm calling because, you know, I've been listening to the show, and I listen to KP, I listen to your station. What I am concerned about is that you've got these politicians, and not just politicians, I mean, you've got these people on both sides, the Republicans and Democrats, they're lying through their teeth, and yet we continue to listen to them as if we think that nothing ever happened. Now, I'm trying to be positive about things, but do you think we can still work within the system?
That's
the question. I mean, I'll attend the rally, nevertheless. But I tell you what, Obama demonstrated even before he came to office. He was already elected, but this is before he actually took office, that he gave retroactive immunity to the telecoms for, basically conspiring with the government to illegally wiretap domestic citizens abroad. And he said, well, that's the go-along, the get-along. What's changed?
Well, let me ask you
this. That's my question.
It's a good question, and we'll answer on another show, but let me say this. For those of you who believe the system works, and for those of us who don't believe it works, we still have an obligation to force it to do what we want. We're not asking it to do what we want. We're trying to find any points of leverage in a very undemocratic society. Now, President Obama totally agreed with what you said about it, and also we could talk about his deals with the drug company. But President Obama just issued some temporary levels of protection for immigrants that is better than what existed before. It is not the Dream Act. It's not what people think it is. He came out for marriage equality. Is that the end of the world? No. But he changed his position for the better. We're trying to get President Obama, under pressure from you, who does not believe in the system, to say in the middle of an election, when all eyes are on him and he just wants to keep talking about Bain Capital, Bain Capital, Bain Capital, we want him to talk about capital in Los Angeles, how the capitalists in Los Angeles are breaking the bus system and breaking the back of the system.
Sure.
So I'll see you tomorrow at 11, okay?
And there's a book called Behold a Pale Horse. I just have people read it.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. So the rally is tomorrow at 11 o'clock. If you're going to come to the rally, tell us if you're coming. You can start out your conversation by answering that question. Do we have any more? 818-985-5735. Jose in East L.A.
I have a question. I work for disabled people with mental disabilities. I know a lot of them depend on access services. I know that they use this to get around, and it's free. I was just wondering the impact that it was going to have on access services, the cutting of the hours, and the impact it's going to have on their lives.
Was that a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a question. What was going to be the impact on access services? I know that they're cutting the hours.
Right, Alan, we don't know. That's very important. Access services are basically cabs and other things that come vans for disabled people can call into. In terms of knowing my facts, I don't know them. I promise next week when we're on the show, we'll address that concern, okay? Thank you so much. Come to the rally tomorrow. And Mark from San Gabriel Valley. Mark, you on? 818-985-5735. The rally to get a million hours of bus service is tomorrow at 11 o'clock on City Hall steps. 818-985-5735. Is Mark on?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon. I will be at the rally tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Great.
And I encourage folks to take the gold line, the blue line, the green line, the red line to get downtown. I'm calling also. I want to piggyback on what the previous caller was talking about, access services. There's lots of people that ride other transit systems also. Omnitrans in San Bernardino, RTA in Riverside, Foothill Transit in the San Gabriel Valley, Long Beach Transit, Torrance, Big Blue Bus. We need more hours, too, on those other systems also. Metro does its job, but there's lots of other systems that need to be increased also.
Great. Thank you so much. And make sure to come out to the rally at steps of City Hall at 11 o'clock. Hope to see you there.
And we also agree that this is a campaign for dramatic expansion in public mm-hmm. services. All the other lines that you talked about need more service. The access services need more. So you're totally right. It's not just for a million MTA hours. It's trying to set the standard for more government support for public transportation. Matt from Topanga, are you coming tomorrow?
About which, obviously, the issue here is budgetary concerns. And I know that this is not exactly your direct focus, but if this was part of your toolkit, when people ask, well, where are we supposed to get the money? Well, if we actually had municipal banks in every city, a city-owned co-op bank, a bank makes 900% return on every loan since the loan is only 10% of base value. Imagine all that money going back to city services and cutting out the oligarchs. There's a huge pile of money that I think that you guys, as well as everybody else, needs to focus on that we're letting the oligarchs literally steal from us. If there was a municipal bank or a co-op bank towards the MTA, the Bus Riders Union, that would be substantial windfall. They think money doesn't grow on trees. Well, a tree can't grow a leaf as fast as these bankers make money.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. And listen, any money that you find, please bring to the Bus Riders Union. Bring it to the rally tomorrow and help the rally. That's very good, brother. There's a Barbara Lott Holland, who's the co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. She has an opinion that she wants to bring in. Barbara, are you on the line? Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, I wanted to, yes, I will be at the rally tomorrow.
Good.
And I wanted to point out or respond to the question with regard to racism. Is there racism? Why is it that we're saying that Measure R is a racist proposition that they are trying to put back on the ballot? And I would ask people, in particularly bus riders and transit dependents, if the buses was full of white men in suits, we wouldn't be having this problem. There would not be a struggle of bus versus rail. I was at the MTA board meeting, and the mayor was talking about how great the trains is, but you can't have a first-class train system and not have a first-class bus system, which in the real world sounds marvelous. And if he's talking about this with L.A., how is it that you can have a first-class bus system when you're constantly taking hours from the bus system? Already there has been over a million hours of bus service cut. There was another listener that was speaking and asking what is the demographics of people riding the train. Another thing that people need to understand is there were at times buses running parallel to the train. Those buses were removed. The trains have always been created for choice riders, meaning those people that have a car and they can decide on any given day whether or not they want to drive into work or drive their car up to a secure park and ride, get on the train, go into town, come back, get in their car, and continue their travel. We, the transit-dependent riders of the system, don't have a choice as to whether or not we want to ride the train or get on the bus that will stop us two or three blocks from our destination as opposed to a quarter of a mile or half a mile that we are now forced to get onto the train. And again, the trains are not taking the transit dependent where they need to go. This whole Measure R, again, is a racist proposition.
Hey, Barbara, you get the last minute. Let me ask you this. Cynthia's going to be at the rally. I'm going to be at the rally. I know you're not just going to be at the rally. You're going to be speaking at the rally.
Yes, I am.
So are you going to go home tonight and practice your speech?
Yes.
Because I'm going to go home and practice mine.
Okay.
We want to be as good as we can. Barbara, if you don't know her, you know her now. She's a heck of a speaker. So you got to come out tomorrow to hear Barbara Lott Holland, because she's going to talk about why Prop R is racist. And I'm going to talk about the war in the city between the rich and the poor, the war in the city between gentrification and the working class of color. And I'm going to try to talk about why the working class of color has to lead a movement for environmental justice, for social justice, and why we have to intervene in the presidential election and ask President Obama, just like the Dream Act students did, just like the LGBTQ movement did, that it's time to take a stand between racism and civil rights. We expect the president to take a stand for civil rights. We expect Mayor Villaraigosa to take a stand for civil rights. But your participation there tomorrow is going to be a factor in whether or not that's true or not. So on behalf of Cynthia Gonzalez and myself, Eric Mann, we're going to thank you for coming. This has been very good on the phone, folks. I want to thank you for the number of people say they're coming to the rally. I want to thank you for just getting in and out in 1 minute and being very respectful callers. It's a real pleasure to do the show. So that does it for today's Voices show.